What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. They got him. The Bears signed Ben Johnson. That was the hottest guy on the market. That is the guy that Caleb Williams talked about working with for what, 15, 17 years?
Morning, Mully. Yes, happy Tuesday. And Chicago still celebrating. And I think it's a mixture of euphoria and disbelief because the Bears got their guy. And I think a lot of us wondered if they could pull it off. But they talked big, and now they are going big. Big Ben. Ben Johnson is the head coach of the Chicago Bears. It's hard to believe, but this is the right move at the right time. We'll talk about how they stepped up and what they did to get him here. I was stunned when I got the news on Monday afternoon. I really was surprised because of how quickly it all happened. And then you step back and you think, it's happening, and who they're bringing to town. And he'll be here today. And this is a new era for the Bears, and they have to be very, very excited.
High time that Tom Brady didn't get something he wanted. Right? Weren't we worried about Tom?
That's part of the disbelief.
Yeah.
He basically told Tom Brady no.
That's right.
He told Tom Brady no. And all of the reasons that we articulated and explained and thought we knew, all of those reasons for going somewhere else didn't apply. And no. I think that's one of the things that we'll look forward to hearing from Ben Johnson about. What about the Bears' challenge and opportunity appeal to him more than the other jobs that were open and that were offered to him, basically?
Yeah, I mean, look, it is it's a huge win for the Bears.
Yes.
Perception-wise, it's just a big win. They claimed that their job was the most coveted, and then the most coveted guy took their job. So I think that whatever questions you have about the number of interviews they went through or the number of interviews they completed versus the number that they wanted to, they did a very complete search and they found the guy that was the obvious candidate right in front.
Exhaustive. It was an exhaustive search.
I was exhausted.
It was an exhausting search. And I think along the way in real time, we did criticize or at least wonder if they knew what they were looking for, because the list was 20 plus and the number of interviews was 17. And when you go and you conduct a search that vast and that exhaustive, you wonder if they are able to zero in and hone in on what they're going to want and what they were going to need. Turned out all along, the guy everybody wanted was the guy that the Bears were zeroed in on.
Right.
And maybe.
And he them.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. He understands the value of coming to a franchise that has a quarterback that is as good and has as much potential as Caleb Williams has. And I think in the final analysis, all of the things that we talked about in terms of the alignment with the front office and some of the other things that might have been more appealing at other jobs that we talked about, the fact is those were concepts, and the real quarterback, having a real quarterback in place.
Big difference.
Wasn't that the difference?
Yeah, I think Caleb Williams was
a difference.
I think there were a couple of things. I think that the guy has designed game plans for 3 years for the division opponents. He has an intimate knowledge of the Detroit Lions. So he's devising game plans to beat Minnesota, to beat Green Bay, and he knows the Lions inside and out, and he knows the Bears. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an advantage to not leave the division. I think that I don't know that that had anything to do with his final decision, but it is an advantage.
I think it's a bonus.
Yeah.
It's a bonus for him taking over a team where he has such familiarity with the opponents in the division, in the NFC North. He's ready to take the North because he knows what it takes. And maybe he understands that the Lions are going to have maybe a coaching deficit now, and they may come back to earth a little bit. The Vikings, you wonder about their future at the quarterback position, and are they going to really win 14 games again? The Packers maybe are stable, but Ben Johnson comes to the Bears probably with the idea that this was an underachieving roster, and he sees talent there, and he also sees ways that Caleb Williams was being squandered and his potential was being wasted. And so he comes in ready to take advantage of all of the talents of a young quarterback.
And they got nearly $75 million in cap space. They got the number 10 pick in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, we know what the flaws are, but they've got a lot of money. They got a lot of draft capital. And
it's the NFL. You know the NFL. They probably go into next year feeling like after free agency and after the draft that they will be in a position to make a run for the playoffs.
Right.
And if you're not thinking that way, I don't think you're paying attention, because I think that Ben Johnson comes here, he's going to pick the Bears not because he looks at this as a rebuild or a total reset. This is probably a tweak here, a player there, and they're going to be ready to go, ready to try to chase 10 victories. That's a good starting point. I don't know if it's realistic. There's a long way to go in the offseason, but this is a great first step.
It's a great first step, and it's really a good day to have that behind us, right? To know that that's been done. You know, obviously the national championship game was last night.
Yeah.
My brother and his son were at the game.
You had to bring that up.
They were very excited. Well, I mean, it happened.
I know. It was.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So you get that good news from the Bears in the afternoon, and that leads you into the national championship. And boy, Notre Dame started that game strong.
That 18-play drive was epic.
It was wonderful.
And you started to think it was possible.
And then it ended pretty quickly.
It did end pretty quickly. I mean, Ohio State did what we thought they could do.
Sure.
They took over. They had some real strong advantages. Notre Dame falls behind, never gives up. You never got a sense that they were really going to threaten Ohio State in the end.
No.
But they did play very hard down to the last drive. I wondered about the decision to kick the field goal on fourth and goal from the 9 that Marcus Freeman talked about post-game. That might have been a situation. You score a touchdown there, you get it to one possession. But it was an uphill battle. Ohio State.
Well, they were down 8 at one point. That's one possession.
When they were down 16 and they kicked the field goal missed it.
Right.
They doinked it off.
Oh, I know.
You score a touchdown there and maybe you have a different outlook and maybe a different outcome.
You don't know how Ohio State's going to react, too, if you come back and all of a sudden you're threatening them. The problem was, the defense was a no-show, David.
Yeah, they did not have a good night.
They did not stop them at all. It was like watching that Bills game where the Ravens were the only team that could stop the Ravens. And it felt that way, like unless Ohio State had a holding penalty or a turnover, other than that, there was
going
to score.
Well, Howard completed any pass that he wanted to in the first half. And then when they needed a big play and third down, Jeremiah Smith got open man coverage. That's a problem because he's as dynamic of a receiver as you're going to find in college football.
No doubt.
And Ohio State took care of business. Notre Dame had a great season. And
so it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, so yesterday was a huge football day, a huge news day for football fans in Chicago. The surprise of Ben Johnson in the afternoon and the disappointment of Notre Dame falling short at night to Ohio State, unless you were rooting for the Buckeyes.
I wasn't. I was rooting for Notre Dame because...
Family ties?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a complete jerk, no matter what you think of me. I did feel that... Yeah, I thought there was some hope there early, and I thought it was really good to see. It's just, unfortunately, it wasn't sustainable. Really hard to run your quarterback like that. A lot of that was short yardage, you know, kind of driving running game stuff. And look, I don't feel like the better team lost, let's put it that way. I thought the better team
won. You don't feel that way. There was nothing fluky about Ohio State's run through the college football playoff. Now, the fluky game that they played was against Michigan, as it turns out.
That's exactly right.
When they got in a phone booth, as they say, and Michigan beat them up and then beat them. Totally. I think you look at what Ohio State did in response to that, and you've got to give credit to Ryan Day for not losing his team and for regrouping in the way that Notre Dame did after losing to Northern Illinois. And Ohio State, they maxed out with their potential, and they had the most talented roster in college football. And last night, you were reminded of that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's just that's the way things fell, and it was a pity. But I feel like we had to mention the national championship game.
Well, huge.
Before too long.
Yeah.
But the news of the day is obviously Ben Johnson and what that represents for the future. I mean, here's a guy who in the last 3 years as an offensive coordinator had his team in the top five every year, including – number one last year in terms of scoring offense, and that
it was historically good.
That's what the Bears need.
They need to score on offense. And that's what the Bears need. And I think everyone could agree on that going into this process. I think what we talked about on a regular basis was our doubt that the Bears could pull it off, only because of the history of them not pulling off things like this. They never get the guy that everyone wants.
No, you're right.
They're never the winner of the beauty pageant, right?
No,
they're always
so
runners up. And so yesterday they got their guy. And I think that of all of the talk that we had about the process, as we had tried to be consistent with, the outcome outweighed the process. When you have a candidate that everybody is seeking and you end up with him signing a contract, this does feel like a new era because the Bears are paying Ben Johnson in a way that reflects a new approach.
Yeah, they paid a lot of money, man. I didn't know they had it in them.
I didn't either.
Given $9 million to Flusi to go away, right?
And Shane Waldron.
Yeah, they're paying
a lot of money.
Shane Waldron
being paid $5 million not to coach.
Yeah.
Matt Eberflus, $9 million not to coach. That's
right.
14.
Right.
So, and Ben Johnson reportedly.
12.5? Is that what
you
said?
Just shy of $13 million to coach.
Shocking amount for
the Bears. Chicago Bears. It is for the Bears.
Yeah, yeah. And who knows what that coaching staff's going to look like. There's a report out there that he's trying to put together like an all-star cast of assistant coaches. That would be magnificent.
Well, Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, former head coach.
Yeah.
Darren Rizzi, special teams coordinator, interim head coach with a great reputation in the league. He is a guy that has been rumored, if he doesn't get a head coaching opportunity, could be coming to Chicago. The other coaches have that have been rumored, highly respected guys. It sounds like Ben Johnson has been working on the staff for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's had the time to. He's been the number one guy in the cycle now 2 years running. So
yeah.
That, you know, and I hope that aids him when he gets here. But that, I'll tell you what, you get good coaching staff in here, that'll aid everybody.
Let's take a step back, though, and pause for a moment, because like we just went over that kind of casually. $12.5 million, if that is indeed accurate, and I have no reason to believe it wouldn't be, the Bears being willing and open and able to pay their head coach that much money, how surprised are you that they were able to step up and do that, the willingness to do that? Because, Molly, that's a huge leap for a team that was paying their head coach $4.5 million.
Incredible.
This is more than double that. It's three times that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
For a guy who has never been a head coach before.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with that, and it tells me that they're serious. It's as simple as that. They made a lot of claims about how good the job was, how everybody would want it, how they would get it done. And we tried to be patient and wait for it, but man, there was just a lot of noise surrounding the thing, and it was, you know, the Vrabel thing. You know, it just seemed like they weren't ready to move. They got, I'll tell you, when I woke up on, what morning was it, Saturday or Sunday, and heard that the Eddie George news, I was like, what?
That was Sunday morning.
Sunday. I was momentarily confused. Last I saw Eddie, we had him in studio.
Yes, but he was performing.
He was performing in the play Chicago.
Yes.
And he got me two tickets. I took my wife. We sat in like the third row.
I remember that.
And
yes.
I watched the guy, the gun. I watched him perform in like a Broadway show
of the play
Chicago.
He could not have been nicer.
He couldn't have been. He was excellent.
As I said yesterday, he was familiar with being on stage in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
So he was the ideal candidate.
But that was like, I was just like, whoa. And then you start thinking about getting the Rooney rule.
It was strategic.
And, I got a lot of time for Eddie George. I mean, we talked to him, and the guy gave me tickets to a play.
He does a great job on Chicago Sports Network every week, being an analyst on the big college football show. He's the coach at Tennessee State.
Yes.
But the Bears, I think, I don't want to say used him, but them interviewing him when they did showed you that they were ready to pounce whenever they needed to.
Yes.
Because they had no more boxes to check.
Right.
And you hate to look at it in that way, but the Patriots did it. And I think the Rooney Rule every year after the hiring cycle deserves another look by the league and how the teams are manipulating it or using it. And is it within the spirit of the rule, the way it's being utilized?
As we've talked about, because they were doing so many of their interviews virtually, it's not like they didn't have a lot of candidates, a lot of black candidates for the job. Like, and, you know, they're decision makers. They've got a lot of, Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles. I think, I don't want to say they're above the Rooney Rule, but I feel as if their diversity they weren't manipulating it, you know?
I know what you're saying. I think that when I say manipulating it, I feel like when you do anything to observe a rule just because you feel like you have to and you can't move until you do, you are – it's not the spirit within the spirit of the rule if you don't take Eddie George seriously as a candidate.
Right.
And I'm not sure they ever did. I mean, he wasn't a serious candidate for the job.
No, I guess he wasn't.
Yeah, so I think that
– so that's not in the spirit of the rule.
Yeah.
Okay. Well
– but it's kind of a moot point, but maybe this will help Eddie George's profile – moving forward, and his own experience in interviewing for a head coaching job.
Yes.
But so in that way, it
moved,
is valuable.
They moved quickly is my point.
They did.
Like when they moved as fast as they did, it was a surprise. It was just the Bears were ready to go.
We had Big Z on yesterday. Yeah. I think we all thought best case scenario by Friday.
Yeah.
By Friday, yeah, we'd have a coach. By Friday, we'd have a press conference or we'd have news. And all week long, we'd wonder Mike McCarthy, who thought, you know, the highest floor and the most likely and sensible plan B. He was plan B. And then we didn't really have
Todd
faith.
Monken, you thought, was kind of a dark horse.
Coming in hot as a dark horse.
Yeah.
You never quite knew. I think all of those contingency plans were being discussed and examined because of the lack of confidence that the Bears could pull this off.
I totally agree.
And that doesn't
I totally agree with you.
But who thought that they were capable of doing this? This was a franchise we heard coming in that since Matt Eberflus was fired had been known for botching every big decision.
Right.
Every in-game decision, every out-of-game decision. The Bears are the team that couldn't get things done and couldn't close. You know what happened yesterday? They closed.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
They closed the deal.
They did, and they got a guy that, you know, I think everyone should be excited about. I mean, I get it. The Lions, it all the injuries finally caught up to them, and that loss, divisional round loss to Washington was, you know, embittering, and there were some crazy play calls. There was a really good play call in that game where he had his two running backs. They did a was it a pitch out or a handoff and then a shovel back.
Double shovel.
That was a hell of
well designed,
a play.
Really clever, and really you we'll see more
of big
those
turnover
things.
Play. They had a lot of turnovers in the game.
We'll get into this, but I think that the big picture discussion also part of it will revolve around explaining or understanding the difference between Ben Johnson coming to the Bears now and to me when Matt Nagy came to the Bears in 2018.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll talk about all that stuff.
Because there are differences, but it is very similar as well.
The Caleb Williams difference is the big difference. And Caleb, we will play that audio from when he was on with the brother St. Brown and talked about, selfishly, I want an offensive guy because I want to, you know, be able to play with a guy for whatever he said, 14, 15, 17 years.
In 19, 17, 15, he's going backwards.
Okay. I mean,
15 years. In 15 years, you know how old Ben Johnson will be? 53.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson's a young man, 38 years old.
38.
He was born in 1986. He's coming here as a first-time head coach with designs on being here for a very long time. And if Caleb Williams is now in sync with his head coach, the first year, the apprenticeship, the however you want to refer to it, on-the-job training, however you want to categorize it, it's a new start for everybody. You're hitting reset. You're not hitting rebuild, but Caleb Williams now has a chance to use that experience to his advantage and have the expertise of a guy who is really innovative offensively.
All right, we have a lot of people who want to talk about it. We will get to your phone calls today, but we've got the pick six coming up next, and we're going to break down the Bears hire from a lot of different directions. We get an opportunity to talk to a lot of different elements of this hire and what it means moving forward and really how crucial it is for the young quarterback. We'll get into all of that. We'll talk about, sadly, the national championship and how that thing ended up.
Oh,
and
boy.
Where Ohio State did pretty good for themselves. And we'll,
Ryan Day is a national championship coach.
Is he fired? Are you calling for his head this
morning? No, I don't. I think he's probably going to get a raise. He can't get a promotion, but you got to give him credit.
Pretty interesting. Like Michigan wins last year, and then Ohio State wins this year. It's just from a rivalry standpoint, it's pretty.
And from a big picture standpoint, yeah. Big Ten supremacy. You know, they have back to back national championships, establishing itself as the best football conference.
Well, SEC
in the country,
shut out 2 years running.
Just saying,
doesn't happen very
facts
often.
Facts are facts.
That is the truth. The Midwest rules college football.
Amen.
No doubt about that.